Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Having been a Christian for just over 30 years, there are passages of Scripture that are quite familiar to me that I sometimes pass over when teaching or preaching because they are so familiar to me. Recently in our family devotions, Isaiah read for us from the first five verses of the Gospel of John. That is one of those passages that were so familiar to me. It is and will always be full of fascinating and familiar truths to me. But it wasn't until Isaiah read it and questions arose regarding it that I realized that maybe it was too familiar for me and not familiar enough for those that are under my care. So tonight we're going to look at those five verses, and it may come across more as teaching than as preaching, and if it does, and you were hoping for a sermon as more than teaching, then I apologize, but hopefully we will learn some things that we'll be able to apply to our lives, and it will be a boon to you over the years as it has been to me. It will be a source of comfort, strength, and even conviction. So we're going to read those first five verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I'm certainly not going to claim that I will be comprehensive and say everything that could be said from these verses. I think if someone was to do that, it would take a great book to write all of the things that could come from it. But you notice from the very start, especially since I had as our scripture reading Genesis 1, that there is a correlation between the beginning of the Gospel of John and the beginning of the book of Genesis. The beginning of John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Whereas the beginning of Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now that portion of Scripture in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, it takes as an assumption, it takes as a fact that God exists. It is an automatic. It is assumed. It is assumed that those that read it will understand that. In the beginning, God. He's there. He is the one that has created it all. It's a fact of His existence there in Genesis 1. And then we read that portion of Scripture from Genesis, and you see that all creation is performed by God. That He creates it all. And He gives different descriptions. He goes from very broad things to very narrow things, and then back to broad things, and back to narrow things again. As you read those things and study those things, but we see that all things come from the hand of God. All of these created things, and He saw all of these things, and they were good. He created man, and He said, He is very good. And there's this picture in Genesis 1 of God as the Creator, as the one that is sitting back and doing it all, doing everything. At different times throughout the Word of God, he gives us more information regarding His creation. But here in John 1, it tells us that Jesus was the Creator. It equates Jesus with God. You read this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So that is putting Jesus in a different category than the way that people most normally think of Him. You can say what you'd like, and there are different commentators on the Gospels that will say what they like, but John here is making it very plain and very simple from the very beginning of his gospel, that Jesus is God Almighty. He says, in the beginning, God, from Genesis. And here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God Almighty, and He is the Creator. All things were made by Him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The creative act is the act of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Throughout the scriptures, you'll find that the scriptures speak at certain points that the Spirit is the one behind creation. Here it speaks as Jesus as the one behind creation. At other places, you'll see the Father behind creation. How is that possible? It is because God is one. He's one God. It is the Trinity that is being preached. It is the Trinity that is there in Genesis and in John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Because it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who are God. They're not three gods. They are one God. And you say, well, how is that possible? I'm not sure how it's possible. I just know the Bible preaches it, and I believe it. And I can understand it to a limited degree with my human understanding. But you look back in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, in this creation act, in this thing that is taking place when the world is created and the universe is created, it says in Genesis 1 verse 26, when it's about creating man, it says, And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See, John 1 is teaching us that there are three in one. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 teaches us the same thing. Now, we don't meet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there in Genesis 1, but when God says, let us make man in our image, who's he speaking with? Is he speaking to the angels? Well, the angels weren't creating other things. Only God is the creator. He's speaking with himself. He's speaking within his own persons. It could be the Father speaking to the Son. It could be the Spirit speaking to the Son. It could be the Spirit speaking to the Father. Or the Son speaking to both of them. But it is, let us make man in our image. And you'll find that throughout the scripture, that it is pointing out that God is three in one. And we find that here in John chapter 1. In these first five verses, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Something else these verses point out is that Jesus is eternal. He is everlasting. I had taught with the boys and in Discovery Club about who Jehovah is. That he is I am that I am. He is the self-existent one. He is the eternal one. He is the one that is infinity in all directions. There is much more to that name Jehovah than that, but that is who Jesus is. He was in the beginning. When Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, speaking about Jesus, that before the world was created, before the heavens were created, God was. God is. And Jesus was and is. Why? In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's who He is. That fact that Genesis 1:1 tells us, John 1:1 tells us the same thing, but that it is Jesus who is there. And then you see that life comes from Him. In verse 4 it says, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was life. And the light, excuse me, and the life was the light of men. That life flows from Jesus. That life flows from the Word. That life flows from Him. Imagine that. That we take breath every single day. We eat food, we sleep, we go about our daily lives. But that our life is dependent upon one individual. According to John 1:4, it is dependent upon Jesus Christ. He is the one that holds it all together. We think of the laws of nature. We think of these laws that seem like they can't be broken, whether it's gravity, whether it's an immovable object, whether it's a force, whatever force you can think of, the speed of light, any of these things, each and every one of them is held together by the hand of Jesus Christ. In Him was life. That's where it all comes from. That's where it all starts from. That's where it all points towards. It's Him and Him alone. He holds it all together. It is who He is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you think about this in the beginning, you think about Genesis 1 and the creation, the purpose of creation, what was it? The purpose of creation was mankind. God didn't create the world for the benefit of the trees. God didn't create the world for the benefit of the bear that roams through the woods. God didn't create the world for the whale that swims through the sea. He created the world for the benefit of man, of mankind. Because He created man in a special way. He created man in His image. That we are the only ones that were created in the image of God. That marks us as special. Not that, oh, we're so special that we deserve everything. No, God made us special. God made us different. God made us with a soul. God made us in His image in the same way that there is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is me. I have a mind, I have a soul, and I have a body. There are more. It's more than just the flesh and bones that you see before you. The animals, they're just animals. No matter how much you may enjoy a pet, it's still just an animal. It doesn't have a soul. God has created us differently. That the purpose of that creation, of the worlds, of hanging the stars in the sky, of the sun and the moon, and on all of these things, all of that, the purpose is us. The purpose is man. But it is not just that we exist. There's more than that. Because He was the light of man, and He still is. You notice that there are some funny things about the English language. When you read something, you may not notice a tense that's different from what the original was. In verse 5 it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Did you notice that the tense has changed there? The scripture says, "And the light shineth in darkness." That it's shining. That's how we would have said it. The light shines, or shining, is shining in darkness. But then he says, "And the darkness comprehended it not." There's a past tense. You see, there's a Greek tense there that's telling us that the light started to shine and hasn't stopped shining. And will continue to shine. It is a past, it is a present, and it is a future reality. That the light that is shining has always shone and will always shine. That light is Jesus Christ. That the purpose of creation, the purpose of creation being mankind, that He shined the light and has been shining it ever since, and will continue to shine it for the benefit of man, which is the purpose of not just the creation, but of the incarnation. That's a big word for those that are smaller. Incarnation means that God has become man. That Jesus has been born in the flesh. That He is the God-man. That He was walking the earth. It is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the same thing as the purpose for creation. It is for the benefit of mankind. It is the salvation of souls. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What's the purpose? The life is the light of men. It is the thing that points us to God. It is the thing that directs us to God in heaven. I say it is the thing. It is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. That's telling us here in these verses that the reason that Jesus came was to bring sinners to God. It wasn't to live a good life. It wasn't to say some clever words that people will ponder over for years upon years. It wasn't to revolutionize Jewish society. It wasn't to defeat the Roman Empire. It was to save sinners. Because the spiritual life was so much more important than the physical life. That's the purpose of the incarnation. It's for the light to shine in darkness. And that light has been shining ever since. The sun, the moon, the stars, the creation, it all points to God. It all points to Jehovah. It all points to who He is. And the revelation of God, His Holy Scriptures, has continually pointed us to one individual. That is Jesus Christ. And you can study the Old Testament, and you can see it pointing constantly to Jesus Christ. Pointing to the Messiah, the one that is to come. And why was He to come? He was to come to die. He was to come to die on the cross to pay the penalty of sin. And in the New Testament, it gives us the information about who He is and what He did. And tells us how to live following after Him. It is pointing us back to that same thing. Because the light shineth. It's shining continually. It's not stopping. And will shine continually. It is an amazing thing that you think about. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He says that and He means it. So that one day, when you look in the book of Revelation, what does it say? That we will have no need of the sun. We'll have no need of the moon. We'll have no need of the stars. Why? Because the Lamb is in the midst. And He shines with a brightness so that we'll see everything clearly. And it's an amazing thing to think about, because that light that shines now in a spiritual way will shine one day in a physical way, and there will be no shadow. There will be no shadow of turning. Everything will be lit. It will be bright. The sad part, though, is that ending in verse 5. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You can study history. I am a student of history. I love to look at the past and to learn from the past. And to see what people used to do. And you can study biblical history. You can study secular history. You can study any history you want to find. And you will find the same history. The darkness didn't comprehend the light. Over and over and over again, men turned away from God and followed after their own devices. They followed after their own things. They didn't want the light to shine. You know, when I was in secondary school and I went to my senior prom. It was my senior prom. And I got my tuxedo on and I got ready, and I had some acne issues as a teenage boy. And so I thought, well, I'm going to take care of these and I'm going to put some medicine on to take care of these things and it'll cover them up. But I didn't realize that what it does is it actually draws them out. And thankfully, when the pictures were taken, and I was clueless because I had not looked in a mirror after I had put that medicine on. And so as the evening wears on, I'm having a good old time, and life goes on. I go home. A few days later, I take my pictures in to get them developed, and I get those pictures developed, and my face looks like a great big acne. It's disgusting looking. But I didn't comprehend it at the time, because I didn't have sight. I would have rather have never had the pictures, because I look back now, and I see the picture, and I can't think of anything behind the picture. See, sometimes we don't want the light to shine on our faces. Sometimes we don't want the light to be shown in the darkness. We enjoy the darkness. We enjoy having our sins hid away. We enjoy other people not knowing what we've been up to. We don't want the light to shine. But the light of God's gospel shines continually. And that is the light that you do want to shine. You want it to shine into your heart and into your soul so that you can comprehend the light. So that you can follow the light. So that you can trust the light. Because the light is the Word. The light is the Word is the Savior. It is Jesus Christ. And it's all there in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Creator of the universe became a man. The creator of the universe became a man, and not just a man, but he became a man to die on my behalf, to take my place. That's an astounding fact. That's an astounding statement to make. So the question then becomes, what do you comprehend about that same Jesus Christ? What do you comprehend about the Word that was made flesh to dwell among us? What do you comprehend about the light? Do you want it to shine on somebody else? Do you want it to shine away from you? Or do you let it shine on you? No matter how much it hurts, there are times where lights can get hot, where they can burn you. If you've ever been in a room where the light bulb has been on for a long time and then it is blown and it's dark in the room and you need to change that light bulb and you try and grab that, it's going to burn your hand. The light burns at times. It's not pleasant at times. But it's necessary. It's necessary for the saving of your soul. Jesus Christ, here in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Do you comprehend the light? Do you comprehend the Savior? You can't do it unless you trust Him. You trust Him with you. Not just a part of you. All of you. It leaves you behind. You're all in. There's nothing else. It is trusting Christ. He came to live, to die, and to rise again for the benefit of sinners. Do you know that benefit? Have you been forgiven of your sins by the Word? This book we call the Word of God. It is all about Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, in one way, shape, or form, or another, it points to Him. It is always a fascinating thing to any preacher. If you study Charles Spurgeon, every sermon comes back to Jesus Christ. Every passage of Scripture comes back to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because every passage of Scripture eventually comes back to Jesus Christ. That's why. Because it is God's Word. It is His Word of revelation to us. And what is His Word of revelation to us? It is His Son, Jesus Christ. We need to listen to the Word. We need to see the light. We need to ask God that it will shine into our lives for the forgiveness of sins. We point you to the Savior. Amen.